Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor, as Eric Meehan joins us. Hello there, Eric.
Hi there. You went kind of weird radio silent for a second. I thought I had lost you.
Oh, it's the technology, and there may be some ghosts in the machine. I don't know.
It's entirely possible, and I also apologize that I obviously just lapsed into my weird Scottish brogue. You have literally caught me. I am so it's vacation week for anybody who doesn't have children, and I am in the middle of a Dungeons and Dragons one shot with my son.
Nice.
All of a sudden, the phone rang. I'm like, I gotta go.
Oops.
But I was ready for you, but then I lost track of time because, of course, his barbarian and my shanty bard. We're busy killing a sea hag, Rich. These are the things that you got to do.
Well, listen, that's noble work, and I'm glad that you two are able to take care of that for us.
Well, we were. The sea hag is now dead, and we've discovered her treasure, I think. And I think things are going to be okay in the little village or the little pier. It's actually kind of funny, in the world we live in. I'm sort of describing this little fish house that is in this town right outside the city proper. That it used to be like kind of just a fishing village, but lately all the nouveau riche have started buying in, and like I'm like, wow, this feels so familiar. Cool. Well, I hope everybody's great. Like I said, it's vacation week, and I hope you've all figured out what you're doing with your children. Otherwise, you're probably panicking. Good luck with that. Here we are. And it's time to talk about natural wine. This is always sort of my favorite topic because a lot of people, natural wines have become sort of, the natural word in itself has sort of become a buzzword. Obviously, before that and still, organic was a buzzword. The term that I use all the time that people don't quite understand, but we'll talk about it today, is biodynamic. That has not yet become a buzzword, but I'm waiting for it to happen. And then some other things that, make a lot more sense sort of in the commoner speak. And of course, these days, as we've been talking about a lot over the past, 6 months, year, is that a lot of people are starting to equate natural wines with sugar-free and low calorie. And I would just kind of want to say off the bat, that really isn't what we're talking about here today. We're talking about the idea of when you grow a grape and you either crush that grape or allow gravity to crush it for you, there is natural yeasts on the outside of that grape. There are basically things in nature that allow it to ferment on its own. It is unlike beer, which is made from, obviously, you make grains germinate, and that's how you get the sugars from that. Honey wine, mead, right? You add honey and water and then add yeast, but honey doesn't have its own natural fermenting agent on it, anything like that, but wine does. So you're talking about, at some level, allowing nature to basically take its course, hence natural wine. Now, that said, you don't necessarily have to use the yeast that's on the outside of the grapes. A lot of people inoculate their wines with their own yeast that they choose to and or that are living in their particular caves and things like that. So it doesn't necessarily, natural wine doesn't necessarily have to be the yeast that was on it, but that's the sort of idea, right? And so the idea is, so is it natural from start to finish, right? And when or where does that start and when or where does that end and why? Are there chemical sprays? Okay, maybe in some of these. Is there filtering and fining? So filtering is obviously what it sounds like. And fining is when you're putting stuff into the solution to take particulates out. Either egg yolk or clay or things like that, and it will the particulates in the juice itself will cling to it and fall out of solution. That's called fining. And of course, that's an issue with people because if you're using egg yolk or things like that, which is very, very rare, by the way, folks, these days, it matters to people because it's what's in the bottle, right? What's in the bottle? So organic. These are the baselines for organic. This is U.S. organic, by the way, right? We're not talking about other forms of organic agriculture that are allowed in other parts of the world. This is USDA organic. No chemical pesticides or fungicides. None. 3-year transition period. Every year you submit a soil sample to the USDA and they check it out, et cetera, et cetera. What does that mean? It means planning. It means inspections. It means cost. So that's an important thing to bear in mind when you're certified organic. It costs you money to get that way. Also, it's important to remember, and this is where we're going to start to talk about different forms of agriculture, copper and lime fungicide is technically organic. Copper prevents germination of fungal spores, but it also can pollute the groundwater. And that's why you see things like, in Oregon, you see the salmon safe. You see other people who say, well, we are quasi-organic, but we don't use the copper spray because that's bad. So organic, they do their best, but it's not always necessarily perfect. And of course, as I was mentioning, this is the USDA's version of organic, and they're the ones, because everybody's out to make money, they're the ones who have to inspect you. So if you're certified organic by one of the European agencies, for instance, or if you're in South America or Australia and they certify you organic, it don't matter none to the USDA. They'd like your money too. So you may not see USDA certified organic. Other things you may see, however, are Agriculture Biologique, which is the European certification for that. You may also see Demeter, D-E-M-E-T-E-R, Demeter. That is the European certification for biodynamic agriculture. So let's talk about biodynamic agriculture. Biodynamic agriculture is organic, but it's kind of mixed in with things that we're really starting to believe in, which is really cool to me, like cycles of the moon, et cetera. Biodynamic, based on a guy named Rudolf Steiner, most famous for, for inventing the Waldorf schools. But he was a thinker, right? He was one of these guys who just kind of was like, what's society look like and what's wrong with it and how can I make it better? Came up with a bunch of theories, and again, the education theory, and in this case, the agriculture theory. And so in the city of Berlin, in 1924, he gave an agriculture course, and it predated the organic movement, like the, you know, even the term and all that stuff, by years and years and years. And basically, he was talking about biodynamic agriculture is I like to call it holistic, right? And I know it's sort of extreme, but I always describe it this way, that if your body, you know, you with your limbs and everything, you all of a sudden got a limb hacked off, you are no longer functioning. Or if one of your, you know, limbs becomes palsied or infected, right? You have a blood disease, something like that. All of a sudden, not just is that limb at risk, but your entire body is at risk, right? That's the same idea with biodynamic agriculture. If one thing is wrong, maybe a lot of things are wrong. And we, you know, this doesn't, if you think about it, this makes a lot of sense. I mean, of course, what's our number one issue a lot in agriculture today is bees, right? And pollinators. If the pollinators go away, we are in trouble. And it's not just, oh, the bees are dead. It means that a lot of things are dead. So keeping in mind holistic ideas of agriculture is very important. And that's what the biodynamic theory is all about. And yes, there's some weird hoodoo associated with it, but it's not really hoodoo. The more and more you get in touch with it. For instance, nurturing other forms of wildlife around your vineyard, right? So that you have not just plants, but you have animals, right? So flora and fauna that maybe, not to be all vulgar, but, you know, you may have the hedgehog come and take poops in your vineyard, and it gives you nice organic fertilizer as opposed to spraying something. You may have a certain type of thorn. This is what I learned about in France back in last April, that one of my winemakers, she grinds up the thorns that hold the water so well, even in dry spells, which they were having, and spreads that all over her vineyards in hopes that the other vines that she's growing will be trained. Does it sound weird? Yeah. But does it work? Yeah, it really does. The proof, as I keep saying, is in the bottle. This is something I like to point out. In a blind tasting of 10 pairs of biodynamic and conventionally made wine conducted by Fortune magazine, judged by 7 wine experts and a masters of wine, and not idiots, 9 of the biodynamic wine, 10 were judged superior to their conventional counterpart. 9 out of 10. So, hey, I don't know. There's something to it. The other thing I just want to mention is the thing that most people actually do practice, especially in these times of what in God's name is happening in the climate, is called lutte raisonnée. This is a French term, surprise. That basically means we really try to be organic, but my God, if we're going to lose all our crop and we can spray a simple chemical on it to not lose everything, we're going to do that. Because, of course, at the end of the day, the point is to stay around. These people don't necessarily go drenching everything in Dracar Noir just to smell good, but a little dab behind the ears might just help you make it through your date. So that's sort of the concept of is we're doing our best. We really, 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 really do try to be pure, but occasionally a little douse of this or a little douse of that is not going to end life in the ways that, like, Franzia sprays everything with death chemicals to make sure that nothing is living. So, I'm sure I'm running out of time, but that's sort of your quick rundown on the organic, biodynamic, the raisonnée. These things that they're sort of the hot button terms in wine, and I always like to kind of get that clear for people. How are we doing on time? I imagine I'm out.
We're less than a minute.
Less than a minute. Very good. So then, just want to remind everybody. Thank you for a lot. Hours. Next week, we're going to talk about sulfites, fining, filtering, and other stuff that people worry about. One of my favorite topics.
Excellent. We'll see you next week.
Dispelling the myth. All right, guys. Be well.
In the meantime, good luck with those hags to you and Eric.
Yeah. Hey, we're doing our best.
That's Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company.